Hey guys, thanks for joining me today. This will be the first episode of a summer series I'm doing, which is going to highlight a franchise business consultant and one of their owners that is doing an exceptional job, or a group of owners that are doing an exceptional job in one of their regions. So stay tuned. Today we have Stuart Stahl of Mathnasium of Buford and a franchise business consultant, William Helmstetter, and we're going to talk about the formation of the Atlantic Co-op and what you can do to get your region off to a great start in regional marketing as well. So stay tuned. Don't forget to favorite this podcast for more updates. All right, William Helmstetter and Stuart Stahl, thank you so much for joining me on my first episode of my summer series. The summer series is designed to highlight franchise business consultants as well as highlight franchisees or a group of franchisees and some of the success stories that they have from their region. And today we've got William Helmstetter. William, what regions do you oversee?
Primarily Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama, and then a couple of outliers.
Great. And your favorite football team?
University of Alabama.
Roll. All right. All right. And we've got Stuart Stahl. Stuart, can you tell us a little bit about how you got started with Mathnasium?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Dan. I guess the journey kind of started for me. I was actually working in a classroom in a program for students with behavior disorders and here in Atlanta area schools. And one of my coworkers had just a transformational experience with Mathnasium and her sixth grade daughter at the time. And, you know, she kind of shared this with me and I followed along and it was just astounded at the difference Mathnasium made in this young girl's life. And, that kind of led, me to explore more about Mathnasium. I honestly, you know, felt like, what I was finding is they were making more of a difference than I was in the classroom. And yeah, that's kind of what really led me to Mathnasium.
That's a great story. So today we're going to be talking about the regional marketing that's going on in Atlanta. So William, why don't you take it away?
Sure. Well, a little bit about Stuart. He is the owner of Mathnasium of Buford. And I think you opened, was it December of 14 or January of 2015? Right around that time.
Right in there. Yep.
And he is also a member of the Atlanta Co-op Board. And so, yeah, if you could tell us a little bit, Stuart, about just kind of how the initial discussion for an Atlanta co-op got started and kind of how it officially started.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, we, myself and a few other kind of owners, as we, you know, discussed things that were working in our markets and their markets, and we kind of had an eye on things that were going on in other areas, what other centers were doing to kind of harness their collective strength and work together. Thanks to your support, William, we were able to accomplish a number of cooperative marketing initiatives together prior to forming the co-op. We did some radio and things like that. And then at one of our regional meetings, it kind of became a topic of discussion. And I think Andrew Solomon was very vocal, and Sam Eunice of Decatur and Dunwoody. And so we started speaking more in earnest about what a missed opportunity it was to have all this collective knowledge and experience and not really use it to leverage the force we had here in Atlanta with roughly 30 centers. So we kind of hatched an idea. And again, with William's help, we presented at one of our regional meetings or made a case for forming a co-op. One of the other owners suggested maybe that we should have a letter of intent ready should there be enough interest. And as it turned out, after presenting the idea for the co-op, discussing some of the things that we could do together, there was so much interest. We were able to pass out a letter of intent and gather signatures from everyone in attendance. And shortly after, we had 100% participation.
It was really a historic day for the Atlanta region, I think.
So what, if I can jump in, what did the franchisees intend to do? What did it say on the letter? What was the, was it a 12-month, 6-month? What did you guys agree to set aside each month, kind of just to get an idea for the budget?
Dan, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. We talked about a few options, and you mentioned two of them. We talked about maybe doing 6 months, so the commitment was not too big, or maybe 12, but I really wanted there to be enough time or enough of a commitment for us to be able to start to see the fruits of our labor. So we decided to go with an 18-month agreement. And the letter of intent essentially said that each center would contribute $350 per month to the co-op to be spent on, you know, large scale marketing, advertising, and brand awareness. So that's really what people were signing onto. There were some questions, but for the most part, and we do have a fabulous group here in Atlanta, but for the most part, everyone just jumped right in, thought it was a great idea.
I'm just doing a quick calculation just to give our listeners an idea of how big that is. And it looks like we're dealing with just a huge budget.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, it is. It's $10,500 per month. And it really, it gives us access to things, Dan, that we could never imagine on our own. You know, I couldn't run a radio campaign in the Atlanta area on my own. You know, we're launching campaigns that run 4 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks. They hit on the radio stations that index best for our demographics. And we're doing them at key times of the year. And some of these campaigns, you know, are $30,000, $40,000. I mean, just way out of reach for an individual center owner, even a multi-center owner.
Sure.
But well within the grasp of a co-op working together.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about $126,000 a year, roughly, that you use. And how do you guys decide when to use it? I'm thinking, of course, like the three major seasons of summer, back to school, and the beginning of the year.
That's exactly right.
Else in there?
Those are the areas that are our primary focus. Certainly whenever we're speaking about the large scale radio campaigns that we're running, those are the three times of year that we target. And it allows us to be consistent, to be thorough. And in radio, you need to be repetitive. You can't just run a couple of ads here. I mean, we're talking, you know, 200-300 spots that are running over a 4 or 5 week period.
Can you talk a little bit about how the radio stations were chosen?
Yes. So we use a media buyer that is essentially, you know, a wholesaler. I mean, a specialist in purchasing media and grouping packages together. And you can specify who you want to target. Thankfully, some of this work had already been done. But the media buyer will generally provide you the indexing for the stations that shows who's listening, when they're listening. And so all of our decisions as far as which radio stations we choose are based on actual data. We're not just saying, I like this radio station, I like that radio station. So it allows you to be really pretty targeted in your approach.
I was going to ask Stuart if you have any advice for co-ops being formed in other cities, and specifically anybody that might be interested in joining a co-op board in their city.
You know, if I had anything to say, I think that there's two ways to look at it. You can look at it and say, wow, $350 or whatever the number is out of my marketing budget. You know, that's a good hunk of money. I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it and said, wow, I can spend $350 a month and I can have a radio campaign going on essentially year round, anytime that I need it. To me, I mean, it's a steal. It's a no brainer. And you know, I'm thrilled to participate. Now, if someone's looking to potentially throw their name in the hat to join a board, I'd say go for it. It's been a lot of fun, but there are some things to consider. It's quite a bit of work. You know, we had to obviously set up bank accounts and drafting from checking accounts for all of the members. We had to form a legal entity. Those are not insurmountable obstacles, but they do take time. And beyond that, our five-member board, we meet roughly once a month, sometimes once every 6 weeks. And then beyond that, there's a lot of kind of behind the scenes legwork, a lot of, you know, phone calls and other meetings, whether it's with media buyers or radio stations or negotiating with vendors, whatever the case may be. So I would just suggest if someone is interested, go for it, but make sure that your business is in a place where you can afford to have some time directed at other things. You know, if you're really growing and things are booming and maybe you're running a center on your own without a lot of support staff, it's probably best to leave that role to someone else.
Yeah. Stuart and the other board members have done a tremendous job laying a foundation for this co-op that I think will be, you know, useful in years to come.
Yeah, I think this, I'm getting similar feedback in San Diego and Houston where it's just a lot of work to get it started. And, but, you know, you got to start somewhere, and it takes, and also to back to the point of, you know, getting people to start the letter of intent, it really has to come from a strong group of owners that are passionate about this. And it has to be driven by the franchisees and strategically in a sense where it's like, you know, this is what we're going after. This is what we want. And we would like everyone to do this. And so working on that is probably the most effective way to go. You know, I just did another podcast about ramping up for summer, and I'm curious what you guys are doing in Atlanta to get ready for summer.
Well, we actually just had a meeting this morning. So the co-op board met and we discussed some of our summer plans. Probably the largest thing that we're going to do is we're going to start a radio campaign that will begin in the middle of April and run through the end of May. That may sound premature if you're in the Northeast or on the West Coast, but most of our kids down in the South are finished with school at the end of May. So our summer kicks off last week of May, first week of June. So we're really trying to, you know, hammer out a comprehensive radio campaign, lots of repetition, lots of spots as interest is peaking, as people are looking around saying, all right, summer's coming. What are we going to do with the kids?
No, I think that's a great time of year to do it. Because that's when people are deciding what they don't, you know, 80% of people decide what they're doing for summer in April and May. They don't, it doesn't come June. And then you'll get some people that'll show up June 1st, like, you know, I thought I was just going to let my kid take a break, but he's just too much at home. You take him.
Yes.
So there's parents too that are like the late summer signups.
Absolutely.
So I think for the most part, you know, you guys got a great idea with when to run it and also the longevity of running it to capture the audience. How do you guys gauge your success with radio?
We do it a number of ways, you know, and some of it is anecdotal. You know, it's in the center. It's kids telling me that they heard us on the radio when they were on their way to school or being picked up from school. You know, for me, just locally here in my center, I keep pretty close tabs on how many of my leads are citing TV and radio whenever they enroll. And I do, you know, the best job that I can of, as people come in and sign up, asking them specifically, have you heard any of our radio ads? And what I've seen over the past 12 months or so is I've seen a big increase in the number of leads that cite TV and radio as one of the reasons that they sought out Mathnasium.
Cool. And on a regional scale, it's just quite a good increase in number of leads overall. And then, of course, it relies on the franchisees to work those leads and get them into the center and sign them up. But the number of leads overall, and of course, the bottom line is the revenue has increased a pretty great deal over the last few months, up, you know, 12% or so for the Atlanta area. So I think it's definitely working.
That's great.
It's been a pleasure to be a part of. It's been exciting to work with other franchisees cooperatively. It's been fun to kind of, you know, harness our purchasing power. Something we haven't touched on yet, but that we have done here in Atlanta is we've used our leverage with vendors just to approach them and say, hey, we have 30 Mathnasiums in Atlanta. You know, we like your product or your service. What type of discount would you be willing to offer us as a co-op? And we don't make it mandatory for anyone to use any sort of vendor. We just negotiate preferred pricing that an individual center wouldn't be able to have on their own. And then another initiative that we spoke about today is we're going to be polling the members of the Atlanta co-op to find out what items they would like to pool resources together and buy in bulk, whether they're pencils, erasers, t-shirts, whatever those things are, so that we can kind of use the scale to our favor.
Yeah, if we can buy 30,000 pencils instead of 3,000, we should be able to get quite a break.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're doing that in San Diego right now. Yeah, there's a lot that comes from, you know, working cooperatively and working together. And I think Atlanta is a really good example of teamship and leadership and what you guys are doing down there. William, what else would you like to add?
Oh, I just, you know, again, want to thank Stuart and other board members for all the time they put in. You know, this is really coming from either time that could be spent on their business or their families. You know, they're obviously not being paid for this. It's volunteer work, and they've done a great job with it. So thank you, Stuart, and thanks to everybody on the board.
Well, I mean, we've had fabulous support, even pre-co-op, from William. So we, I think as a region, we've always kind of had a mind to work together whenever possible. And it's been a great experience. I can't say enough about the group of owners we have in Atlanta, the members on the co-op board, Karen, Sam, Jeff, Andrew. I mean, they're all fabulous owners. Bring a lot to the group. So it's been a wonderful experience, and you know, I'm looking forward to what's to come, finding new ways to kind of harness our collective strength and use it to grow and increase revenue.
Great. Yeah. Well, William, Stuart, thank you so much for joining us on our first episode of our summer series, and we look forward to following the success of Atlanta. And again, thanks for taking time out of your day to join me today. I hope you guys have a great week.
Thanks for having
us. My pleasure, Dan. Thank you so much.
Bye.